Okay, we're picking up the Gemara and then Gimel Amud Beis. We're two lines from the bottom. Rav Kaman Azza. Just to remind ourselves, we're discussing in yesterday's daf. We discussed that there was a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim with regards to the blowing in the Beis Hamikdash, the tekiyos in the Beis Hamikdash. Do we count the tekiyah, true tekiyah, as three different mitzvahs? That was the Rabbanan, and the Rabbi Yehuda understands that they're all one mitzvah. So now the Gemara is just pointing out, Keman Azza Adam Rav Kahana, that Rav Kahana says the following statement. Who does he follow? Does he follow the opinion of Rabbanan or Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says, what did he say? Ain ben tekiyah l'trua v'lo klum. That you don't have a pause between a tekiyah and a true at all. You're not allowed to pause except for the time Rashi points out, except for the time you need to take a breath in between the tekiyah true and the tekiyah, but other than that little breath, you're not allowed to pause at all. So whose opinion is that? So the Gemara says, Keman, who's that opinion? Rabbi Yehuda. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who considers the entire blowing of the tekiyah true tekiyah one mitzvah, and therefore you should not be pausing. Since the tekiyah true tekiyah, according to Yehuda, again, are one element of one mitzvah, you're not allowed to pause between them. Rabbi Yehuda is going to be modeh, as Rashi pointed out, they're allowed to pause enough that it would be to take a breath, since obviously blowing the whole thing in one mamish and one neshima achas without a breath of air would be very difficult. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda would hold. This lachora is something that wouldn't have thought, but this isn't necessarily a lachik shaila halacha lemaisa, because we don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. There's a machlokas in the Beis Hamikdash. However, this is something that is very relevant to the halacha, because when we hold that there is something that fundamentally is one sound, and it's Mamash Inyan D'Yoma coming up in a week from now, Rosh Hashanah, is going to be the Shaila when it comes to a Shvarm Trua. The Shvarm Trua, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, it has to be, according to the Chacham, it has to be one single blast. So the Rishonim have Machlokas over here. Should you take a breath in between the Shvarm and the Trua? Is it Shvarm Trua fundamentally two different things? Or is it part and parcel Mamash, like the Gemara seems to indicate over there, as part and parcel of the same mitzvah? The Ramban and the Ran bring down that the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that you should do a Shvarim Trua as Shtei Neshimos, because we're not sure if when you do the Shvarim, you do and then you do the Trua, people don't usually do that B'nishim Achaz, that's a Derech. However, the Ramban disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam's assumption, and he holds that it should be done B'nishim Achaz. The Beis Yosef points out in over there in Siman Taf Kuf Tzadik, in the halachas of Shofar, the Beis Yosef says that if you hold, you need Neshima Achaz. If you do it in Shtei Neshimos, you're not Yotze. So according to the Ramban, you're not even Yotze if you do it the way that Rabbeinu Tam wanted to suggest. So how do I pass in halacha and Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch writes a year in Siman Tov Kav Tzadik Sif Dalet. The Shulchan Aruch quotes both days. First of all, he points out that Shvarim for sure has to be done with one Neshima Achaz. And then he writes that when it comes to a Shvarim Trua, he quotes both days. He writes that Yesh Omim She'en Tzarech Lasa Somedim She'achas. That's when the first opinion is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, and then he quotes Yesh Omer Tzarech La'asusam B'Nishim Achaz. Then he quotes the Ramban right afterwards. So we have the Ramban versus Rabbeinu Tam, both as Yesh Omer Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch tells you what to do. Yerushamayim Yetzei De Kulam, a person who's Yerushamayim should do both. How do you do both? Tekiyos Dim Yushav, the first 30 blasts that we do before Shemona Esrei, you should do in one breath. The Shvarim Shuva continues without that even the slightest pause. If it's kios to move, you take that slight breath. Again, it's mamish, a slight breath. It can't be more than a length of an neshima. So it's a very slight breath that you take. And that would be when you do the tekiyos, when you are the one in Chazara Sashat, you should do the one in two breaths. Take that slight breath, a slight pause in the breath. And that's what Shulchan Aruch recommends. And the Ramadha points out, Minaga Pashu Lasakol Beis Neshimas Ein Lachalas. He says the Minaga is like Rabbeinu Tam. The Mishra Berurah quotes that in the Shaar Tzion, he says that the Chayam doesn't quote this Ramah, and the Mishra Berurah writes in Shaar Tzion over there, in Yud Ches, in Shaar Tzion, he says, I don't understand, the Shulchan Aruch has a very good Eitzah, because we're not Yotze according to the Deya of the Ramban. So Lechor, the Shulchan Aruch has a very good Eitzah that will be Yotze both Deyas, and we should, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch has, and the Mishra Berurah leaves a little bit, I think Menag Olam is, I think they recommend for Bali Tzkiya, I guess Shastar Rav, obviously consult them for Shofar Blower for sure. Double check this halacha, whether you should have Mamish that slight pause, but I'm pretty sure the minhag in most shuls is to follow the psak of Shulchan Aruch, and not necessarily the Ramah. Everyone, of course, obviously consult your Rav. So this is a very interesting Mamish Inyan D'Yoma. Just in a week from now, halacha l'maisa that comes out of the Gemara, it seemingly you wouldn't have thought is necessarily halacha l'maisa. Now the Gemara continues. And the Gemara says, okay, going back to what we're discussing that this is according to Yehuda, that it's considered one mitzvah, and therefore Rav Kahana says that you shouldn't have any pause. The Gemara says, pshita, so why would Rav Kahana is obviously going according to Yehuda, why would I even have a havmina that he's suggesting anything else? So the Gemara says, turning on to the next number, the same, I would have thought that Rav Kahana's ruling was stated afilu k'rabanan, even according to Rabbanan, ula afuke mid Rabbi Yochanan. And he's coming to exclude a different shita, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan that says what? The Amar shama tesha tekios, betesha shos, bayom yatsa. So that Rabbi Yochanan has an interesting shita, but there's a big machlokas that the concept of shakadei ligmor skula, that if a person, it does a mitzvah for the long break in between. So do you assume that those parts of the mitzvah are mitzvah to each other, or do you have to go back and complete the entire mitzvah? So Rabbi Yochanan held that if you blow 9 different blasts at 9 hours of the day, you're going to be yotzei your obligation of blowing the shofar. Now, it's important to note that in the mitzvah d'oraisa, it says trua 3 times in the Torah, and we learn out that each one, the Gemara learns out, there has going to be a tkiah before and tkiah after. So mid'oraisa, I only have to hear 9 shofar blasts. So where in the world did I get to the number 100, that for sure? But even 30, how do I get to that? Because as the Gemara relates, we're not sure, but etzem, if really our shvarim, what is the trua of the Torah? Is it a shvarim, the do? Right, genuchah ganach yuli yali. Was like Gemara's lashon. Is it just a long or is it like a real a quicker cry, or is it both? So that's the Gemara suffix. So we really do all 3 to be yotze that, and that's the 30 kolos. That's when we're yotze the doraisa. So we do much more because we blow the 30 first to be yotze the kios to miyushav, and then we do its kios al seder havoda al seder shmon esrei with malchios zechronos and shofros. We do it with those 3 and to do another 30 blasts, and then we just mash them to get to the 100. That's the minhag became that we get to 100 and mash them those tekios afterwards. But etzem to be yotze doraisa, to be yotze all the shittas of doraisa, you only have to blow 30. That's why Bizman Hazeh, if a person goes to somebody's house to blow for them, you only blow the 30 kolos. That's a shaila. If you only have time to blow Shvarim Trua, let's say, because there's the sheet of the Gaonim that holds, how is it that we forgot the shofar? So the Gaonim hold, we didn't forget the shofar. The Gaonim said that really, Be'etzem, all 3 of them are, you really go to the Dereisa with any one of those 3. And you don't have to blow all of them. So that's a shaila. If a person Mamish only has time, 2 minutes, to blow only the Shvarim Trua, and he blows those set of a Tkiah Shvarim Trua, Tkiah 3 times, is he allowed to make a bracha? And can we assume that he was lotzeh like the Gaonim? That's a very big shaila. We don't, that's not so pashut. But either way, going back over here, so Rabbi Yochanan held that if I held these, that because there's 2 different chiddushim for the Gemara. One is that just midaraisa, we're just pointing out that your yotze with just a total of 9, tkiyas and truas together. And Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that if you held them widely apart, you're going to be yotze. Rabbi Yochanan, and throughout the Shas, there's a machlokas about it. There's 4 different Gemaras that discuss the Gemara Shoshana, the Gemara Brachos, or Megillah. They all discuss this concept of shakadei ligmor skula, and it's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Abau throughout Shas about that. It's very important to have a pasuk alach al ma'is. It's a big machlokas Rishonim, just main 2 posts that we pasuk, like there's really Tosos and the Rif. The Rif holds that when it comes to davening, that it doesn't matter what your reason is, if you finish the time that it takes you to daven your Shmoneh Esrei. So a person normally davens Shmoneh Esrei in 5 minutes, and he whatever it is, he had to run out for whatever reason it might be. He has to go get a tissue, and his mouth is gushing and needs to cover his mouth, whatever it is, for 5 minutes. It doesn't matter what the reason is, according to the Rif, you have to be chozer for davening for every other halacha. It's everything that we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, everything is mitzvah. So if I heard, if I have a long break in between hearing the shofar blowing, that would be okay according to the Rif. But Tosos make a chilek. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and Tosos is how the Ramah paskins. Again, there's other sheets of Rishonim, but just to be mekatzer, the Tosos hold that be'etzem your yotze, every halacha is the same, and in the Geder it's going to be based on different gemaras. Tosos says that it depends if I was uneligible, if I had to go to the bathroom. Or if I had to go to the bathroom, or potentially, as Machalkas will put him later, if there was a robber and I had to hide, and Mamish couldn't, whatever halacha was, daven or blow the shofar, then I have to go back to the very beginning, nothing's mitzarif. However, if I just took a break because I wanted to, my own choice to just take a break, then according to Tosfos, for every halacha, then I would not have to go back. So there's a chumra by davening of the rif, but by everything else, Tosfos is more machmir, they hold by all mitzvahs. If it's be'onis, you would have to go back and you're not yotze. That's what we're passing about the tisha tkios be'omish. Yatsa, so that's what we hold by in terms of the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Abba. So now again, the Gemara is just pointing out that I would have thought maybe we're talking like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers now Kamash Malan that therefore we're teaching us at the end of the day that Rav Kahana meant that one should not pause between the tkiyah truah at all. So that even according to Rashi again, maybe you're allowed to take a breath, but in keeping with Rabbi Yehuda's shita, the entire tkiyah truah sequence is mamish one mitzvah, and therefore he's teaching you not to like Rabbi Yochanan taking a break is okay, but in mamish you're not allowed to take a break at all. So the Gemara says, "V'im hachanami," but maybe you should say that Rav Kahana only meant that one shouldn't pause for a very long time. How did the Gemara know that it means that you should mamish say to him all on one bevas achas? And where's it imkain v'lo klum? What's the lashon of v'lo klum? Rav Kahana uses the lashon of v'lo klum. That sounds like there should be no pause at all. The tekiya and the truat all should have no pause. So therefore, Rav Kahana meant that only the only time one is not is you're not supposed to pause even for a short amount of time. That's going to be a problem. And that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that the entire thing is one mitzvah. That's what Rav Kahana is chiddush is v'lo klum. Okay, now we're up to the next point of the mission. The mission told us that if you had Erev Shabbos Achad, that when you had Friday fell out on Sukkot, then the Mishnah was told us that there's going to be 48. There was 48 tkios that were blown in the Beis Hamikdash. You had them in the Shar Elyon and the Shar Tachton, and when they would also do Simchas Beishoeva by the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says. The Gemara points out that wait a second. Ilul Amala Asiris Logtani. The Mishnah doesn't mention that there was the three tkios that we mentioned when the people were blowing at the Shara Asir, at the Amala Asiris, the tenth step that the Mishnah and the Alfan Beis told us that they blew. So, Lachor, what's going on over here? Our Mishnah seems to contradict the previous Mishnah on an Alfan Beis. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right, there is. Masis and money, it's a machlokas tanaim. And our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. It's very interesting. Mishnah of Mamish back to back has two different shitas. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, as we see in the Breisa, the sound of the Breisa tells us, Shalosh Lamala Asiris. There was three tkios that were sounded in the tenth step. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov amar shalosh lagabei mizbeach, and that's the way our Mishnah is talking about it. When they had it, when they put the aravos on the side of the mizbeach, as described on Mem Hey Manav, that's when they would sound the tkios. The Gemara says, "Ola haomer lamala asiris eno omer al gabei amizbeach." The one who says that the three were blown on the tenth step, meaning the Tanakama of our previous Mishnah, he's not going to agree that it's on the side of the Mizbeach. And our Mishnah, which says, Omer al Gabei Mizbeach, Ein Omer Lamala Asiris, is going to disagree. He's going to hold that they were not blown on the tenth step. So over here, basically, everyone is agreeing that there were these, they would blow the trumpets, they would blow them an extra amount of 12, and Rashi points out, Lachor, they had some sort of Masorah. They must have a tradition that this, they would blow an extra 12. But according to the Tanakhama of the Breisa, the 12 were on the Shara Elyon, and they would have the 3 in then the Mala Sirius in the 10th step, and then also the one in the Shara Tafton, those were the extra one, that's the three locations. The Be'azar Yaakov says that he agrees with the Shara Elyon and Shara Tafton, but the one in the middle about the Mala Sirius he disagrees with, and he says you replace that one with the one by the side of the Mizbeach. So again, the previous Mishnah is going to be the Tanakhama. Our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, so what's the reasoning of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov? The Gemara says, Kevan desaka l'psichas sha'arim, that once they had blown for the opening of the gates, meaning the Shara Elyon and the Shara Tachton, so then, l'mal asiris, l'mal li detaka, why would they blow at the 10th step at all? Hai lav sharu, at the end of the day, it's not a gate, therefore it doesn't make sense to blow on it. So therefore, hilkach agave mizbeach adif, so therefore it's a better place to blow, is to complete it on the side of the mizbeach. So the Gemara's Rabbanan Savre came with the Sakad Lumil Amayim. The Rabbanan say that since someone's blowing with to commemorate the drawing of the water, so then the Simchas Beishoeva Agave Mizbeach Lamali. So why would they be blowing at the side of the mizbeach? Lachora, at the end of the day, there seems to be no shaychus with the actual drawing of the water. Rashi points out the chora that's difficult because they specifically wanted to have them coincide at the same time. They wanted to have them coincide when they would be doing the water drawing. So Rashi says maybe we should take out the skirsa. Rashi's problem with the skirsa based on what we said earlier. But either way, the Gemara says hilkach lamala skirsa adif. According to this opinion, according to the earlier Mishnah, we're assuming that the tenth step is going to be better. This is shaila. Why exactly the tenth step? Why are Dafka choosing that one? What's the significance of 10? That's a whole shaila. The Ezra Sphiros maybe, but that's something that the Gemara is telling us. You should do a dafka on the 10th step. Okay, now the Gemara continues in talking about the blowing of the trumpets with regards to the Korban Musaf. Ki Aser of Acha Bar Chanina Medroma. So he came from the south. Aisi Masnisa Biyada. He had the Breisa. He had a Masora for this Breisa. Uvne Aaron Yisku B'Chatos. The Pasuk says in Baloscha that the children of Aaron should, the Kohanim, they should blow the trumpets. She'enta Melomar Yisku. Why do they have to say that they would blow the trumpets? I obviously know they're going to blow them. From another Pasuk, it's interesting, this Pasuk is actually later, but we're assuming that they're coming together. Shekfar Demar Uskazim B'Chatos Alosichem Vazachesham Mechem. It says clearly that you have to blow the trumpets over when you have a Korban Ola and a Korban Shlamen. You have to blow the trumpets. Ma'ata Melomar Yisku. So what does it mean? mean when the Torah tells us that they should blow? Hakol lefi ha-musaf in tokin. It teaches us that you should blow in accordance with the musaf, as the Gemara is going to say. Hutana v'mavarla. What does this mean? That they're blowing with the musaf? Lamar she-tokin l'kol musaf musaf. This is coming to teach you that we blow a separate set of the chatzotz, of the trumpets, for each and every musaf, korban musaf that we would bring. So like if Rashi points out, let's say you have Shabbos and Yom Tov together, so you with the korban Shabbos, you would blow a set, and then with the korban of the a set of three, they would and then with the Yom Tov or with the Yom Tov musaf as well, they would also they would sing the Shir Shalom of the musaf, and they would also blow another set of chatzotzos. So that would lechora seem to indicate, if we're darshing this out from Pesukim, the Achronim point out lechora our Gemara is indicating, as Gemara Maduik will mention in Rashi and also in a moment, that actually blowing these chatzotzos is mamash adin daraisa. That's the whole shaila in the Rishonim, Achronim, the Rambam, Sefer Mitzvot discusses this. It's a discussion over here. Whether or not the blowing of the trumpets with the karbanos is a mitzvah deraisa or not, from our Gemara, definitely sounds like these pesukim would indicate they are a mitzvah deraisa. So either way, the Gemara continues. Tznan. Lechora, this is a question. We have a question from the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Erev Shabbos HaPetuch HaChag, Hayu Sham Arba Mishmona, that if you have Sukkot, there was 48 blasts there, and our Mishnah that the Chor no more than 48 on any day. The Gemara says, V'im Isa, if it's true, Rav Acha said that we blow for each Korban Musaf, then Litni Shabbos HaBetoch HaChag. The Mishnah should have taught you that there is a number that you could have a greater one if you have Musaf on Shabbos. So in addition to the 48 ones, we just pointed out that the extra korban musaf requires an extra korban, so an extra chatzotzos, an extra set of three. So instead of 48, you're going to be getting three more. You're going to have 51. So then you would have you would have more than 48. And the Mishnah tells us it never gets more than 48. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabzira. Rabzira says, Lafisha ain't token l'tikha sha'arim b'shabbos. Rabzira says, no, it's not a kasha because we don't blow the trumpets to the opening of the gates on Shabbos. Even though there's no shavus to Mishnah, the Mikdash, we pointed out that when something is not essential to the halachas of the korban, so then we would hold that the Isser Derabanan of playing instruments on Shabbos would kick in even in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore if it wasn't essential to the korban, if it was just a reminder for them to open up, so then at the end of the day they would therefore they would not blow them because it was only just to remind people to start doing it. We would have the Din Derabanan in that circumstance. According to Rashi, where something was fundamentally part of the avoda, then it would override Shabbos. Again, the simulashma from the Rashi is similar to what we just mentioned earlier, that this is a Din Derabanan, because Rashi is mechalik why these should be different, and therefore they're not going to have 51, you're going to have 48, and therefore you would have the same amount in the Beis Hamikdash. So Gemara says though, Amar Rava Man hu de lo chash lekimcha. So he's like consulting Rabbi Zera. He says, you're not concerned about your flour, meaning he doesn't care if it's a fine flour or it's an inferior quality flour. That was just the way he was describing him, and he says, firstly, the Mishnah tells us that there was 21 every single day, which implies that Shabbos is included. It doesn't say not Shabbos. It says every day. L'chora Shabbos. When you say every day, that includes Shabbos. So clearly, you should include Shabbos here as well. And then the Gemara continues. The Gemara says also, besides for that, it says ve'od inami kadadinina. So if we're going to say that there was only 48 that were sounded on Shabbos of Lazar, that it'd be equal. So therefore, then you would still have listen Shabbos shabbatol chachag shiur shamar b'mishmona. According to you, you assume that we're talking about the Musaf on Shabbos, and there'd be 48. So why does the Mishnah use this as the example, not the one of Erev Shabbos? Why? Because and why should I argue that we should use this one over the example that the Mishnah decided to use? Because shamar netarte, I would have two chedushim if you taught me the halacha of Sukkot on Shabbos with the Musaf. Because Shema Minei de Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, I would have learned the Chiddush of Eliezer ben Yaakov that at the end of the day the trumpets are blown by the side of the Mizbeach, rather than on the Maila Asir, rather on the 10th, than on the 10th step. So that's one Chiddush A. And Chiddush B, Shema Minei de Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, we would also teach us the Chiddush of Acha bar Chanina, that when Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same time, and you have two different Korban and Musaf, you would have each one would have its own set of tkiyos. So therefore, I would have two different chedushim, and according to the other one, according to the way our Mishnah has it, we don't have the same amount of two different chedushim. So that's a very big question, lechora. But the Rashi points out that even though we are assuming that there's six different tkiyos that were sounded, three to have people stop working and three to the beginning of Shabbos, that lechora Rashi points out is not as big of a chiddush as the chiddush of these two chiddushim of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. We would have preferred to use that one. So the Gemara says Ella Amar Rava. So therefore Rava rejects this. Lafisha ain't toskin lemiloy amayim. Rava says a different terrors. Sorry, lafisha ain't token lemiloy amayim b'Shabbos debatzar tuva. Rava is saying that at the end of the day, Shabbos, we don't blow for the Simchas Beis Shoeva at all. As we mentioned, we don't have this whole ceremony on Shabbos whatsoever. So therefore, they don't blow at all. So the numbers are going to be not even close to these numbers, because you're going to be subtracting. From the 48, you're going to be subtracting 9, so then you're going to be left with only 39 tkios. So therefore, you have the 21 that you say every day, then you have the 9 for Shabbos, and then Shabbos Musaf, and they're going to have 9 more for the Musaf of Chag, but still it's only going to get you till 39, and therefore it's much less than the 48 of the Mishnah. That's why it's not. That's why we have that. Now the Gemara continues asking in Rav Acha. The Gemara says, "Listening, Nami Rosh Hashanah Shchalias b'Shabbos." Also, if this is true, why did we mention Rosh Hashanah that falls in on Shabbos? We just had that last year. Da'ikat plus a Musafin, because there's going to be three Korban Musaf. You have Musaf to Rosh Hashanah, and we know we've gotten together about this. Musaf to Rosh Chodesh, be Kesalim Chagina, we cover up the Rosh Chodesh, we don't discuss it so much, right? We do a few minhagim like that. We don't say Birkas HaKodesh, like this coming Shabbos should be Birkas HaKodesh for Rosh Hashanah. We don't do that. We cover up the Rosh Chodesh, but we still bring a Korban Musaf. You still bring the Korban Musaf for Rosh Chodesh. Rav Nevin always liked to do by Kiddush. He'd always say, who wants a kid, an extra cup of wine? We give a little extra shot of wine. Who wants the Kavod Yom Tov? And he would say, who wants the Kavod Rosh Chodesh? He would say to make a point that it's also Rosh Chodesh. So they would bring the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, Musaf to Shabbos. And also the third one, the Inyan the Kavod Shabbos. So we see over here that they would have, according to this, you would also have 48. So the Gemara says, Erev Shabbos, B'Tzuch HaChag, Itzrichlei. No. There's a bigger Kiddush by saying Erev Shabbos Friday on Yom Tov of Sukkot. Why? To teach you, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the 12 extra tekios that were by the Simchas Meriva, that would have 3 by the Mizbech and not by the Maila series. So that's a bigger chiddush. To say the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is a bigger chiddush than assuming that you should each Musaf require its own one, and therefore the Gemara says that's why he suggested over here. The Gemara doesn't like that answer. The Gemara says, but wait a second. Atu mikamar litni ha v'lo litni ha. But did anyone say that the Mishnah should teach us one case and not the other one? That was never the question. Litni ha v'litni ha. The Tana should have taught us this case and the other case. Why can't the Mishnah mention both? Both the case of Rosh Hashanah Shchalis B'Shabbos and Friday Sukkot. Why is it usar for the Mishnah to mention 2 different cases? So the Gemara says, you're right. We really maybe should have mentioned 2 cases, but there's a few there's another one that's missing. So therefore we can assume that it's called the Tana Vishir. That a lot of times the Mishnah is very concise, because again, they used to memorize Mishnayos. So the Mishnah would leave out. It would leave out a few other cases. It doesn't want to mention all the cases in Shas, so therefore leave it out. So the Gemara says, you can only assume it leaves it out. If there's only 2 cases in all of Shas, and only 2 cases in our situation, only 2 cases on the calendar date, which could ever happen, where you would have exactly 48 tekios, you would have 48 blasts from the trumpets, that clearly would mention those 2 cases. However, it's 3, if it's 3 or more, then we can assume it's Tana V'Shir. So the Gemara asks, my Shir, Da'ai Shir, that's what always the Gemara mentions. I always want to say, which one does the Tana leave out? It leaves out this one, and what else does it leave out? Shir Erev Pesach. It also leaves out Erev Pesach. There were also 48 blasts on Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, in addition to the 21 that we normally have, there was an extra 27 that were sounded with the Korban Pesach to get to 48. Because if you had, they shechted the Korban Pesach in 3, the Gemara Pesach, and we had a few times in the Daf Yomi, right? We had that they would have 3 different shifts for how to do the Korban Pesach, and each of the shifts, they would have, until the Sha'arim would fill up, they would close the Sha'arim, and then they would sing the Hallel. They would sing the Hallel 3 different times. If they finished the Hallel, they would finish it 3, they would say it 3 different times. So if you have 3 groups of 3 saying the Hallel 3 different times, you're left with the total of in addition to the 21, you are going to have an extra 27, and 26, because you have 9 in each one. And as soon as 27, so you're going to left with 48 extra, you're going to have 48 total ones. So therefore, we can assume that the Mishnah is not listing every single case, and therefore it just mentions an example and decides to use Sukkot because it thought Sukkot is a bigger Kiddush, maybe because we've just mentioned Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, and that was a bigger Kiddush than mentioning the case of Rosh Hashanah or the case of Erev Pesach. Now turning on to the next element, the Gemara says though, E mishum Erev Pesach, but if you're going to mention anything because of Erev Pesach, lav shirahu, that's not considered leaving something out. Ha money, because who's the opinion in our Mishnah? And we can assume that the Mishnah is not leaving out the case of Erev Pesach, of Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos, because our opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amar, when it comes to, sorry, it would be every Erev Pesach, not just when it's Chalia B'Shabbos, but every Erev Pesach, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says, D'amar mimeim shokasu shiz lo gea lomar afti ki yesh ma'asrim skoli, that the first 2 is to pack in, imagine, you know, tons of people packing in to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would fill up the first 2, and maybe they would say the first 3 halals. However, there was, by the third group, there's barely anyone there, And since everyone tried to do the first two groups, they would never, in the third group, they would never finish even the first Hallel. They only get the Haftei Hashem Ki Yishma Kol by the Hodeh over there. It's pretty early on in the Hallel. Because there were so few people, they were able to say the Hallel very quickly and finish all the Shechit of all the Korbanos, and therefore they would only get to 42. They would be missing out two sets of the Hallel, so they'd only have 42 as opposed to the 48, and therefore our Mishnah is back to having the question, because there's only two examples in all of the calendar dates that we have right now, is Rosh Hashanah and the day of Sukkot. So why does the Mishnah mention only Sukkot when it could have mentioned on Friday, Sukkot on a Friday, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah as well? So the Gemara says, Hukman Adelokar Bidu, but wait a second though, we just said, you want to assume that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and then have your question, because according, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and there's three cases, once there's already a mention, one there's three and more cases, you can shtel a Tana Vashir. You're allowed to use the Lashon of Tana Vashir that the Tana left it out. However, if you don't have three or more cases, you're stuck. So the Gemara says that's only if you follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but we just established that our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah counts the Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah, three different blasts, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds it's one mitzvah and it only should be counted as one. So therefore, we've established that at least the beginning of the Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara points it out, you're right. Dilma, hai Tana Sarva Lekevasi Bechada, Palega Bechada. But we don't have to assume it's Rabbi Yehuda, but our Tana of our Mishnah is going to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and agree with Rabbi Yehuda. He's going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda in regards to the third shift of Hallel. He agrees like that, and they would only have 42 blasts. And he disagrees with him with respect to assuming that the Chua Tzkiyah Tzkiyah is three different amounts. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's one. This Tana held that it's really indeed three. So therefore, that might be an efficient way to ask it. And then we have the Elamai Shir, the High Shir. So the Gemara says, right. So rather, Atana did leave out the case of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we're going to give another example. Shiar Erev Pesach Shalos be'Erev Shabbos. Now we're coming to the case where Erev Pesach fell out on Erev Shabbos. Alpik Shit v'Ayel Shit, because in that case, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, in understanding that the third shift of Hallel was instead of 48, they're going to be down to 42. You could take out the six that he assumes that they don't say by Hallel, and you add the six that we mentioned that you have in the case of Shabbos. The case of Shabbos you mentioned earlier, right, to be Batalam Malacha and to remind the people not to work. Those extra six cases, that could be the extension to get to the answer of 48. And therefore, our Mishnah is not contradicting Rav Acha, because the trumpets were sounded separately for each and every Musaf. That we would still be able to assume is correct. So therefore, we've answered the question, and we don't have a question of Rav Acha anymore, and now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah says, "V'in Musafin al-Arbaim v'shmoneh," that they never exceeded 48 trumpet blasts. Gemara says, "V'lo." Boy, is that really not true? "V'aika Erev Pesach chalios b'Shabbos." If you have Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos, there's going to be more than 48. "T'irel b'Yehuda chamishim v'chad." According to Yehuda, there's going to be 51. Again, the regular 21 they're blown every day. Then you have Shabbos Musaf, and then you have 18 for the first two shifts of Hallel. That's Elahal three times, and then you're going to have three for the last shift of Hallel. So you're going to have 51. Either Rabbanan Chamishim V'Shevan, according to Rabbanan, they're going to say even more, because they say they finished the Hallel, and therefore they're going to have six more, and they're going to end up having a total of 57. So how can you assume that the Mishnah says that the maximum number is 48? The Gemara says, "Kitani midi de isa b'chol shana." The Mishnah is talking about something that happens in every year. Erev Pesach shechalios b'Shabbos t'leisa b'chol shana v'shana lo kitani. And therefore, it doesn't mention the case of Pesach that falls out on Shabbos, which doesn't happen every single year, because this is something that only rarely happens. Erev Pesach shechalios b'Shabbos, we just had now for the first time in like 15 years. So that certainly does not happen every year. So the Gemara says, "Atu Erev Shabbos shebetoch achag misa b'chol shana." Wait a second. What's the case of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says a case if you have Sukkot falling out that you had Erev Shabbos shebetoch achag misa b'chol shana. When you have Sukkot falling out on Erev Shabbos, zimnin de lo mishkachale. Sometimes it doesn't have to happen. And then Mishnah mentioned this. Vehechi dami. What's the case where it won't happen? Kigon shechal yom tov rishon be'Erev Shabbos. If the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos on Friday, in that case, then you wouldn't have this, because at the end of the day, Simchas Bishoiva is not going to come to override Yom Tov, and therefore, if that's the case, you're going to be blowing a lot less of the amount of the Chatzotzos, and therefore you're going to have less than the 48. So that would be the case of here. So the Gemara says, Kimaklin on the Yom Tov Rishon be'Erev Shabbos. The Gemara says, when the first day of Sukkot is falls out on Friday, we're going to postpone it until Shabbos. So that it depends on the months of the Jewish calendar. Every day is going to be either 29 or 30 days. The month of Elul is usually 29 days, followed by the first days of Rosh Hashanah, first day, and that's the Shai, the base of Middash, they also kept the Alvim base, whatever it is, that would be followed by Rosh Hashanah. If the base sees that Rosh Hashanah is going to fall on a Friday, then they would push it off, they allow Elul to be a 30th day, and Rosh Hashanah would then fall on Shabbos and not Friday. The Gemara says, why is that? My Taima, why would they do that? Why would they postpone it? Kevan de'ikla yomta varishu shachag lios pe'er Shabbos. Since the first day of Sukkot would fall out on Erev Shabbos. Yom HaKippurim Emas Shabbos. So when is Yom Kippur going to fall out? Bechad B'Shabbos is going to fall out on Sunday, and we don't want Yom Kippur to fall on Sunday. Hilkaf Tachinale. We reject, we push off Yom Kippur. So it shouldn't fall on a Sunday. What's the problem with Yom Kippur falling on Sunday? Rashi quotes based on the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is that at the end of the day, when it comes to Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to bury someone for 2 days until after Yom Kippur. Also, any vegetables that someone's preparing to eat after Yom Kippur, they're going to have to pick 2 days before. It's interesting, two reasons why that should be, but that's what Rashi's quoting. So the Gemara says, Umid Achinale, is really true that we prevent Yom Kippur from Elul falling on a Sunday? We have the Mishnah that seems to imply that it can fall on a Sunday. How is that? But the Mishnah tells us, Chel v'yom Kippur kerim v'yom Kippur. The fats of the Shabbos can be offered on Yom Kippur, but those on Yom Kippur are not allowed to be offered up in Shabbos. It's a machlokas of Yom between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The Mishnah Shabbos is telling us that the fats of the Shabbos, Korban Tabid, and they weren't consumed on Shabbos, they're allowed to be brought on Yom Kippur. However, if Yom Kippur falls on a Friday, the fats of Yom Kippur are not allowed to be consumed on Shabbos. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He holds that both days are equal, and therefore the fats of either one can be burnt on the other, since they're similar, they have the same halachas. So the implicit from the Mishnah, though, is that Yom Kippur is allowed to fall on Sunday. So what's the Amr Bezira? Kivina be Rav, be Bavel, have Amre, the students told us, how decided that which the Bereisa tells us, Yom Kippur and Shchalios be'er Shabbos. If Yom Kippur fell out on Friday, lo ayu toke, they would not sound the shofar, but motzei Shabbos. And if it fell out on Sunday, lo ayu mavdilan, they wouldn't say Havdalah, because there's no point of saying Havdalah between a Kedusha, which is less, that's Yom Tiv, it's Kedusha that's less, but Yom Kippur, which has a similar Isser Malacha, there's no reason to say Havdalah, and certainly not over a cup of wine. The whole half minute was obviously to give the Havdalah to a child. Divrei Akoli, that's, everyone has agreed to that. Nobody would say that you should say Havdalah. So Gemara Zekila Hasam, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkel Rabbi Yehuda Breda Rabbi Yishuv and Pazi, Yossi Vekamer, I saw Rabbi Yehuda, who said the name of Yishuv and Pazi, was sitting and saying, Rabbi Kiva, that this bracelet is in accordance with Rabbi Kiva, who says Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos, as we just mentioned, and therefore it's not going to be less Kiddusha. According to Rabbi Kiva, he says that they're the same Kiddusha, therefore there's no need to distinguish it by the sounding of the shofar, and the same thing with regards to the Havdalah. However, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the Shabbos is allowed to be offered Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is less holy than Shabbos, and therefore, if Yom Kippur falls out on Friday, you should sound the shofar before Shabbos in order to tell us that a more Kaddish day is coming in. Okay, so the Gemara, and also to remind us that in the future years, if Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday, then the Kohanim will know that the leftover Shabbos are not going to be allowed to be offered on Yom Kippur. They would be allowed to be offered on Yom Kippur, but not vice versa. So we see from here that the Braisa is clearly telling us that Yom Kippur can fall out on Sunday. That's what we see as the Kasha. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, no, this isn't a question. Ha Rabbanan, the Mishnah of our, the Mishnah is following the Rabbanan who say that Elul can be extended one day to not have Yom Kippur fall on a Sunday. However, Ha Achirimi, but the Mishnah is going with Lamar Bezerah, is going to be telling us that the others, the Achirim, they say that it can't, we don't fix around the calendar. The sound of the Braisa tells us, Achirim Omen, the others say, Ain ben ateres lateres. There's nothing between Shavuos this year and that, and the Shavuos the previous year, but in Rosh Hashanah, there's going to be no difference on what day of the year, the calendar year, and a year from now, Rosh Hashanah falls out, a year from later, Ella Arba Yamin Bilvad, except for 4 days. We know that the lunar calendar is 354 days. If you divide 354 by 7, you're going to have a remainder of 4. So therefore, the day is going to be 54 days. That's going to be the case if you have a Mal and a Chaser, 30 and 29. And you alternate the month and exact year. And then, and if a leap year will come out, it'll be 5 days. This is only of the opinion if you assume that Yom Kippur will never change, alter the calendar for Yom Kippur. If you do assume it change the calendar for Yom Kippur, then you'll have a problem. So then the Gemara says, Meisive, but we have a question on this from the fact that Rosh Chodesh Chalios B'Shabbos. If a case where Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, Shir Shor Rosh Chodesh Docha Shir Shor Shabbos, that the song of Rosh Chodesh is going to be Docha Shabbos. We say the Shir of Rosh Shabbos over that. So this is going, we just finished that topic right now. But going back to Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, that we assume that when you have multiple Korban Musafs, that you would bring, you would sound the trumpets in every single Korban Musaf. It's interesting why the Gemara brings it back now, but the Gemara brings it back now. So Gemara says, so wait a second, a question on Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Gemara says, Im Isa, this is the case. Rabbi Acha, with regards to the trumpets, each one should be Docha the other. So Gemara says, Lema Shabbos, Lema the Rosh Chodesh. Why don't they say the Shir Shel Yom both of Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh? The Gemara answers now, Amar of Safra, my Docha, what does it mean that it's Docha? It doesn't mean that it's overriding it. You don't say the Shir Shel Yom, you don't blow both. Rather, Docha Lekadim, that Rosh Chodesh should come before Shabbos. The Gemara says, my, but what should it be though? Tadir Veshe Nedat HaRekodim, we know there's a concept. When you have a mitzvah that's more frequent, a mitzvah less frequent, you do mitzvah more frequent first. Why are we doing the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh first over here? So the Gemara answers now, Rabbi Yochanan, Leda Shukka Rosh Chodesh Bizmana. You wanted to announce that Rosh Chodesh was Hukbah on the time, and therefore to give the Chiddush of Rosh Chodesh, therefore we just announce it and publicize that Rosh Chodesh as much as possible. That's why we would do it over here. Okay, Bez Hashem, Va'aska Bahaya Kerav Din, Bez Hashem in tomorrow's daf, and also come with the Halacha Lameisa Ramah says that we should say out the Rosh Chodesh to publicize it, Bizmana says as well. Okay, we'll come with that Bez Hashem tomorrow.